to item number four, land transactions. And Julie, it's up to you there. And four lands also, there was a late addition, I believe?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Chairman, Commissioners, Absent Director, and Deputy Director, my name is Julie Sandberg. I'm the Real Estate Services Manager for the agency. We have four transactions to present to you today. One was a late purchase and sale agreement that just came in yesterday, and we were able to add it to the packet. Before I begin with the formal presentation of the transactions, I'd like to briefly give you an overview of the process we go through internally to assess whether we should acquire a property or a property right, like a conservation easement on a property. It's a lengthy process. It begins with all the planning and preparation that the agency does in developing recovery plans, species plans, wildlife area plans, to think strategically about what kind of ecosystems we need into the future. The next stage is our internal Lands 2020 process. We just kicked that off in the fall. We go out to our regions and we ask them to evaluate and assess properties where there might be an interested, willing seller that would be willing to work with us through the process to potentially get funding for these lands. Those applications come in submitted by the region. They're evaluated internally with a cross-program team of folks. We look at potential funding and how effective they might be in scoring. We go before the EMT. We do a public outreach process. We present them to the commission for review and back to the EMT after the public process. If everything is still a go, then we're able to go search out funding for these properties, typically federal and or state funding. The bulk of our funding is geared for the Recreation and Conservation Office, Washington Wildlife and Recreation Program funding, which is on a two-year cycle. If we get the funding, then we start the actual land transaction process. We return to the landowner. We reaffirm their commitment to be a willing seller and to stay with us through the process, understanding we have the funding. They sign a letter of intent and indicate that they're willing to go ahead and have us come on the property and work through the appraisal process. I'd like to speak for just a moment about that appraisal process because it's a real critical part of our acquisition process. We have a statute that requires us to get a market appraisal for any acquisition that we obtain. We also have appraisal standards that are required by both our federal and our state funding sources. The federal agencies require what's called a yellow book appraisal, which is just a different format, but many times we're using these state funds to match those federal grants, so it has to be to that yellow book standard. We have a list of several dozen appraisers that have gone through a qualifying process to be on our contract list. We put out a request for bid from several of those folks, select the appraiser, and that process gets started. And then there is a review appraisal that must be conducted. And many times, like in the federal process, they want to look at that appraisal as well. Once we get the appraisal done, we have an offer. We can go back out to the landowner, get them hopefully to enter into some negotiations and sign a purchase and sale agreement. If that happens, like it did yesterday on one of them, we're able to come before this body and present these transactions to you. I would like to also mention that even if someone comes to us with a land donation, it still goes through our internal vetting process. We still give it a lot of scrutiny to decide if we want to be the perpetual owner of that property. The first of the four transactions today is a property in Kittitas County. And at this time, Chair, I'd like to ask Mr. James Schroeder to join me. He's our partner from the Nature Conservancy, and he will have some comments when I wrap up my little presentation. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes. Good morning. My name is James Schroeder. I'm the Director of Forest Conservation with the Nature Conservancy.
Thank you. The property, as I mentioned, is in Kittitas County. It's a 142-acre property that's currently owned by the Nature Conservancy. The appraised value for the property was $142,000. And again, I orient you to the property, which is the red box to the west of Ellensburg. This property is critical in that it's part of a much larger landscape we've been working on since 2007, 2008 with a number of partners to look at the checkerboard ownership of both federal and state and private and state ownership in this landscape. The heart of the Cascades landscape is outlined in the black and white larger area. The proposed parcel we're looking at is in red. The remaining portion that we haven't purchased is only the yellow part, and we're awaiting a 2016 grant that's sitting in the capital budget, and we'll be able to move forward on that one. I'm going to present a couple of green boxes that kind of keep you moving through what we've been doing on the heart of the Cascades, kind of working backwards here. But we've acquired all these properties starting back when the grants began to be awarded back in 2010, and we've acquired and closed up a lot of the checkerboard ownership that makes it challenging for both a federal and a state partner, and whether there's private in there. We're trying to provide public access, and many times private ownership is prohibitive. They don't want the public on their land. This is a significant East Slope Cascade landscape. To the north, you can see the Tianaway Community Forest. That was acquired in 2013 by Department of Natural Resources, 50,000 acres. We hold a conservation easement on that property, and we do co-management so that there's both revenue generation as well as significant public recreation in that area. The brown checkerboard is what the Nature Conservancy has purchased. I'm sure James will speak a little bit to that. But again, we're looking at major conservation, significant opportunities for hunting and fishing and public recreation in this ginormous landscape. The TNC property that we're proposing to acquire, again, closes out a section that you can envision what we call the Lego Man. And it's those boxes that typically stand out like a significant shape. We have purchased the property surrounded in blue. That was the Westdale property I brought to you last November. The red is the 142 acres we're proposing now. The center portion, I believe, is owned by DNR, and we do a lot of management of DNR properties. We lease that from them. The property, we anticipate having annual operation and maintenance costs of $1,846, and the PILT payment to Kittitas County would be about $653 a year. In this landscape, we have a partnership called the Tapash Collaborative that is with the U.S. Forest Service and DNR. In 2010, we applied for and got a 10-year federal grant to do forest restoration and work in the area. So there's a lot of mobilization of groups of folks at the federal level to help maintain these landscapes. A tremendous migration corridor for deer and elk. This particular property is about a 50% rocky outcropping, but it is timbered. It would just be very expensive to try to access that timber. At this point, I'll stop for a moment and let Mr. Schroeder make some comments.
Thank you. Thank you, Julie, for having me here today, and commissioners. I wanted to come primarily and say thank you to the Department of Fish and Wildlife and to the Fish and Wildlife Commission. The Nature Conservancy has had a fantastic partnership with the Department of Fish and Wildlife for decades, working to protect and conserve the land and waters across Washington, important for people and for wildlife. So I first and foremost wanted to come and say thank you. In the East Slope of the Cascades, we've been working, as Julie said, for decades on a large landscape scale strategy to knit back together this checkerboard of private and public ownership. The Tapash Sustainable Forest Collaborative, as Julie mentioned, is a partnership of the Department of Fish and Wildlife, the Nature Conservancy, the Department of Fish, the Department of Natural Resources, the U.S. Forest Service, and the Yakima Nation. And those five entities come together across this forested landscape to develop landscape-scale forest health restoration projects spanning hundreds of thousands of acres. An essential portion of that collaborative is reconciling this checkerboard ownership so that we can implement forest health strategies across this landscape at scale. So going back to the early aughts and working with the Department of Fish and Wildlife on resolving checkerboard in the Tioughton Basin and the Natchez Watershed and the Manastash Creek and now in the Lego Man has been a rewarding and excellent process for us. So thank you for your partnership. And I wanted to make another comment. There's a misconception that the Nature Conservancy profits off of these land sales to public agencies. And that isn't the case. That's not our objective. Our mission is to protect and conserve the land and waters that life depends on. We come together with the Fish and Wildlife Department because of a shared mission. And there are times when we transact together and we have simultaneous closings of land where TNC might help with a grant application or with some science or with presentations to secure public funding. And there are times like in this situation where a sale is imminent, it's an inholding in a critical habitat area, and we're able to access private funds to move quickly and then work with the department over time to build public funding to take out the property and put it into a wildlife area. So it's been an important strategy for us to do both kinds of transactions. And again, I appreciate the partnership. In this transaction in particular, we will not recover our costs, but to us, that's furthering our mission. And so we're happy to leave some money in the land. But I wanted to come today if folks have questions about this specific project, but mostly just to say thank you for your partnership and the way that we've transformed this landscape for fish and wildlife and recreation and rural economies and fire resilience is a tremendous accomplishment. So I wanted to come and say that. So thank you.
And back at you, thank you for your partnership. Yeah. TNC is a great partner to always have.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. The next property transaction that I have before you is in King County, located up along Highway 18. It's the Sue's Hatchery, Sue's Fish Hatchery. This is one of our largest capital projects that's been ongoing through design and now starting some relocation construction activities just off Highway 18 in King County. There is a necessary utility easement to provide electrical upgrades for the facility. The actual hatchery itself is located on this side of Sue's Creek. It's being relocated a little bit to the north into higher elevation out of the floodplain, but you'll continue to hear more about that over the next coming months. The Puget Sound Energy has requested a 15-foot wide easement to provide utilities to construct and upgrade and so forth to supply for the hatchery. The next item is also a fish hatchery item located in Chelan County, as was mentioned previously, at the Wells Fish Hatchery. We have a proposed return of 2 acres back to Douglas PUD number 1. This is a great bird's eye view. And you can see the hatchery housing facilities across the road. There are 2 parcels of land with 3 employee houses on those. The deed that was provided to us with the property stated that if we should stop using those for employee housing, they had to be returned to the PUD. So we are asking for approval of that action. It's a disposition of land, so it's a quick claim deed that will have to go to the governor for signature and be processed, all before the November 28th cutoff. The fourth transaction I have for you today is in Klickitat County. It's the Simcoe Phase 4, 1,154 acres for this phase. The purple and yellow are the first 2 phases we completed a year ago at the same time with grant sources. Phase 3 came before you just in July. We had to use up some funding out of a grant that was expiring. That was 440 acres. The red hash mark is the property, the 1,154 acres that we're proposing to purchase from Western Pacific Timber Company for $851,000. The northern piece of this abuts the Yakima Nation. Both areas of the purchase had been damaged by fires, I believe it was 3 years ago, and that was reflected in the value that was came out of the appraisal. The funding source is an RCO WWRP grant. We estimate that the annual operation and maintenance cost for this additional acquisition is $15,000, and the PILT payment to Klickitat County would be $8,839 per year. We have a unique opportunity in this landscape to work with the conservation districts on working partnerships. I've mentioned this before in our previous acquisitions, but we have a memorandum of agreement to work with these conservation districts and develop a management plan, and that process is ongoing. It's a facilitated process to talk about how we do some co-management for both grazing and forestry in this landscape. Any revenues generated off grazing leases or forestry work would be turned back into offsetting the operation and maintenance of this wildlife area. This acquisition from this single landowner has created the Simcoe unit of the Klickitat Wildlife Area. At this point, I'd be glad to answer any questions.
No public comment on that. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for such a nice presentation that helps a new guy along, particularly the first part of that. On your last one in the Klickitat area, you said the funding source was an alphabet soup of acronyms. Could you explain what that funding source is and whether or not that continues to pay some of the O&M and in lieu taxes?
So the funding for this property is out of the Recreation and Conservation Office, a small state agency that handles millions of dollars of grant funding for both restoration projects, salmon restoration, state lands development, boating facilities, a myriad, of which land acquisition is one of them. They administer the land acquisition and other grants through what's called the Washington Wildlife and Recreation Program. They have a number of categories of grants that fit state agencies. There's a particular natural areas category that only DNR and DFW can apply to. There's a critical habitat category. There's a riparian category. This particular grant hit the mark in the critical habitat category. We apply for those grants every 2 years. We go through an evaluation process, and then RCO itself goes to the legislature and requests funding for those various grant categories. So this is in the capital budget that would have been approved last session, and we're still waiting for the next round of grants to come in. This particular purchase is off of a 2014 grant that was authorized by the 2015 legislature. The costs that we're allowed to charge to the grant while it's open, and typically these have a life of 3 years. Sometimes we can get an extension if we're doing fencing or survey work. But the typical costs are primarily the land acquisition, our administrative costs, closing costs. Many of the grants have a couple of different purchases within them. So once you've purchased them, you have the closing costs, then you might want to do some fencing. Oh, but before you fence, you have to do a survey. But if you're going to fence, you have to do a cultural resources survey. So there's a number of costs involved in wrapping up that transaction. The PILT payments are payment in lieu of taxes that the 13 of the counties has opted to request. They either can collect from the PILT or they can keep their own fees, fines, and forfeitures from fishing and hunting penalties. 13 counties, all in eastern Washington, over the years have opted to collect PILT. A study was done by the Department of Revenue 3 years ago that tried to look at how these were aligned and recommended some changes to the statute because, not to get too complicated, but right now the statute says if a county wants to collect PILT, they can charge it based on the rates in 1907. They can charge 70 cents an acre, the rates at open space in 1984, or they can collect based on an open space rate, whatever they're charging any private ownership as well. So we have a variety of calculations that the counties are doing. Several of them moved to an open space rate, which increased the cost to the department. We look to the legislature, the general fund, to help compensate those costs. We can't pay them out of a grant. That's not an eligible cost. And the operating and maintenance costs that's why we go through our rigorous internal process of Lands 2020 is to really get the regions to think about what are the ongoing maintenance costs for this property. Is there going to be extraordinary restoration needed? Let's make sure we're thinking about that. And then you can go back to these funding sources and apply for a restoration grant or a development grant, or if we buy property and want to put in a boat launch.
Yeah. Thank you. I have a couple questions. Julie, thanks for the presentation. And I know we're behind, but I think these are important questions, at least to me. Just in terms of the kind of not so much these properties yet, but the process. You know, you mentioned the scoping and need part, the first step. Is there any document that guides the department in terms of, you know, priorities? Is there any, you know, type of written thing, or has the commission ever weighed in previously and helping the department kind of in that process? Excuse me.
Thank you, Commissioner Kehoe. We have our agency strategic plan, but 3 years ago, we developed strategic acquisition principles where we looked at priorities for acquisition, and they're higher level, but they include things like eliminating inholdings. So if you've got a property that is surrounded on at least three sides by our wildlife area, it makes sense to acquire that if we have a willing seller. There are other properties that fit the needs for an endangered species, and again, it makes sense for us to be the willing landowner. Part of these priorities address, should we be the ultimate fee title holder? Should we only purchase a CE? Or is there another organization that would be better fitted to own that property?
Okay. Are these in writing anywhere?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I can.
If you could provide a copy to me or the commission, that would be most helpful.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think for all of us, it's good. Yeah.
And if I may,
you may.
Just a couple follow-up. I know we're behind, but maybe you can tell me, you know, we'll get to see these guiding principles. Is budget or fiscal limitations or constraints, is that a consideration that the department does, you know? And the reason is because by the time that these comes to the commission, I mean, it's almost a done deal, right? I mean, it's like, I'm not sure. I know we have to approve them, but it's pretty far along in the process. So back up, are one of the considerations in this document, you know, fiscal constraints or fiscal limitations?
Thank you. We look at, through the 2020 process, some of the application criteria is what are the ongoing M&O costs, and we put more and more emphasis on that as we look at particularly these larger landscapes that we're acquiring. We bought the 4-0 Ranch, 11,000 acres in Asotin County. We're purchasing the Grand Coulee Ranch in Douglas County, ultimately 20,000 acres. That's a big responsibility into the future for staffing and costs and so forth. So more and more, we're absolutely paying attention to how are we going to fund that. If it's an addition to a wildlife area, we're looking at how is that wildlife area funded? Was it mitigation funds from BPA? Do we have a contract to manage that where we could maybe leverage and negotiate more M&O costs to support any expansion in that wildlife area? But we're putting a lot of scrutiny on pushing the regions. What are the ongoing costs? Think this through. Are we the best landowner into the future?
That's good to know. Thank you for that. And then just one last question, if with respect to these specific properties, the Klickitat property here, and then also the Kittitas property, you know, larger chunks of dirt, as Commissioner Holtzmiller likes to refer to. Maybe just a two-parter. Is there any kind of public access to either of these properties first? And then secondly, is the department envisioning, you know, public use in addition, you know, hiking, all-terrain vehicles, horseback riding, anything like that? Is there any opportunities on those?
So thank you, Commissioner. Each property has a unique feature, but absolutely the baseline is public access. In the Simcoe Mountains, this is not currently open for hunting. So in the first two phases and actually into the third phase, we had people calling the region, is it final yet? Is it final yet? We can't wait to get out there. So it's a tremendous opportunity for public recreation, absolutely. With the WWRP grants, those absolutely have to have public recreation as a component of those grants. Yes, they're a critical habitat category to meet a certain species needs, but people species needs have to be met as well. Where we need to be careful is some of the federal grants, Section 6, they like a lighter touch recreation. They're looking a bit askance at us at some snowmobile trails on the property that we're purchasing, and we're working with them to manage that recreational activity. But across the board, we are buying properties that need to be open for public access. Unless we're putting money on and buying a conservation easement on private property, then obviously that's not our realm.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yep. Come to my attention that somewhere in this area there's a problem I never even used to. I've got two populations of feral horses on the Yakima Reservation. And they're moving west, according to them. So this is 20,000 animals.
Reproducing at a rate of 20% per year. They say they're heading basically for the Gifford-Pinchot Forest. This looks kind of between those two areas. I was just curious if that ever came up in the discussions of the purchase of this property, and if so, or you know, it could mean some additional operation and maintenance costs for us. I'm just curious if you were aware of that.
We haven't heard that in the previous phases. It actually came up this week in a discussion of our new Lands 2020 proposal and some other properties in this area. Our biologist, who's familiar with the area, was not aware that there were issues with the wild horses at this time. But I will do some further checking.
Mr. Chair, I move to approve the acceptance of these items.
Motion's been made. Is
second.
There a second? Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion say yes.
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 All of those opposed to the motion say no.
No.
Yes is carried. Motion's been passed. Thanks, Julie.
Thank you.
Always very thorough, and your answers to the questions raised by the commission were very good. And,